What is St. Boniface's legacy to us today? That's what Pope Benedict told us once during a weekly general audience.
St. Boniface continues to inspire us by his example of missionary zeal, his complete fidelity to the Word of God and the integrity of the Catholic faith, his strong sense of communion with the Apostolic See, and his efforts to promote the fruitful encounter of Germanic culture with the Roman Christian heritage.
Having listened to the Pope's voice there, I'd now like to bring you a selection of the writings of this saint. They've been chosen for us by Jill Bevilacqua. She told me that St. Boniface, who, as I mentioned earlier, was an Englishman, despite being referred to as the Apostle of Germany, spent 40 years of his life evangelizing the German peoples, setting up dioceses, designating bishops, building churches, founding monasteries, organizing the clergy and training missionaries. By the way, all this in the 8th century. Evangelizing, then, as wished for by the Roman pontiff, whom we mentioned a few moments ago. Remember, Zacharias, the pope who made Boniface primate of Germany and apostolic delegate for Gaul, the Roman pontiff whom Boniface wrote to on several occasions. When he founded the abbey at Fulda, for example. Let's listen.
There is a wooded place in the midst of a vast wilderness situated among the peoples to whom I am preaching. There I have placed a group of monks living under the rule of St. Benedict, who are building a monastery. They are men of ascetic habits, who abstain from meat and wine and spirits, keeping no servants, and are content with the labor of their own hands. This place I have acquired by honorable effort through the help of pious and God-fearing men, especially of Carloman, formerly king of the Franks, and have dedicated it in honor of the Holy Saviour. Here I propose, with your kind permission, to rest my aged and worn body for a little time, and after my death to be buried here. The four peoples to whom we have preached the word of God by the grace of God dwell, as all know, round about this place, and as long as I live and retain my faculties, I can, with your support, be useful to them. It is my desire, sustained by your prayers and led by God's grace, to continue my close relations with you and to remain in your service among the German people to whom I was sent.
But in his letters, Boniface didn't just write about his evangelizing mission in Germany. He also wrote about the reports that visiting pilgrims shared with him, hardly mincing his words.
They say that in Rome, near the Church of St. Peter, they have seen throngs of people parading the streets at the beginning of January of each year, shouting and singing songs in pagan fashion, loading tables with food and drink from morning till night, and that during that time no man is willing to lend his neighbour fire or tools or anything useful from his own house. They recount also that they have seen women wearing pagan amulets and bracelets on their arms and legs and offering them for sale. All such abuses, witnessed by sensual and ignorant people, bring reproach upon us here and frustrate our work of preaching and teaching. If your holiness would put an end to these heathen customs in Rome, it would redound to your credit, besides promoting the success of our teaching of the faith.
And to his old friend, Bishop Daniel, who had given him the letter of presentation to Pope Gregory so many years earlier, Boniface confided his problems with the local clergy, and more personal problems regarding failing eyesight.
To quote the apostle, all is conflict without and anxiety within. But in my case, there are also conflicts within and anxiety without. This is caused in particular by false priests and hypocrites who set God at defiance, thereby rushing to their own damnation and leading the faithful astray by their scandals and errors. They say, in the words of the prophet, peace, peace. But there is no peace. They strive to sow cockle among the wheat, to choke with weeds or pervert into a poisonous weed the word of God, which we received from the Catholic and Apostolic Church, and which, to the best of our ability, we endeavour to disseminate. But what we plant, they make no attempt to water in order that it may grow. In order, rather, that it may wither away, they use every effort to root it out by proposing to the faithful new sects and new falsehoods. Some of them refrain from eating food which God created for our sustenance. Others live on milk and honey, whilst rejecting bread and other food. Some say that murderers and adulterers can be accepted for the priesthood even if they persist in their crimes. The people grow tired of sound doctrine and provide themselves with a succession of new teachers as the whim takes them. There is one other comfort for my missionary labours that I should like to ask from you. May I be so bold as to beg of you to send me the book of the prophets which Winbert, my former abbot and teacher, left behind when he departed this life. It contains the text of six prophets bound together in one volume, all written out in full with clear letters. Should God inspire you to do this for me, no greater comfort could be given me in my old age, nor could any greater reward be earned by yourself. A book of the prophets, such as I need, cannot be procured in this country, and with my failing sight, it is impossible for me to read small, abbreviated script. I am asking for this particular book because all the letters in it are written out clearly and separately. In the meantime, I am sending you, by the priest Forthea, a letter and a small gift as a token of affection, a towel, not of pure silk, but mixed with rough goat's hair for drying your feet.
With nuns, Boniface had a warm and lively correspondence. Women religious had great freedom at the time and were responsible for the production of books. And since Boniface depended on these for his own study and the training of others, he often had cause to ask their help.
To his dear sister, Abbess Edburga, long united to him by spiritual ties, Boniface, a servant of the servants of God, greetings in Christ without end. May the eternal rewarder of good works give joy on high among the choirs of angels to my dearest sister, who has brought light and consolation to an exile in Germany by sending him gifts of spiritual books. For no man can shed light on these gloomy lurking places of the German people and take heed of the snares that beset his path unless he have the word of God as a lamp to guide his feet and a light to shine on his way. Many times by your useful gifts of books and vestments you have consoled and relieved me in my distress. And so I beg you to continue the good work you have begun by copying out for me in letters of gold the epistles of my Lord St. Peter, that a reverence and love of the Holy Scriptures may be impressed on the minds of the heathens to whom I preach, and that I may ever have before my gaze the words of him who guided me along this path. The materials needed for the copy I am sending by the priest Eoban. Deal then, my dear sister, with this my request as you have so generously dealt with them in the past, so that here on earth your deeds may shine in letters of gold to the glory of our Father who is in heaven. Of your charity, I earnestly beg you to pray for me, because as a penalty for my sins, I am tossed about by the storms of this dangerous sea, begging God, who is high above us, but stoops to regard the lowly, to give me words to speak my mind boldly, that the word of the Lord may run its triumphant course and the gospel of Christ may be glorified among the heathen.
When he reached 70, Boniface resigned his see and went to evangelize the Frieslanders. At that time, there was a violent resurgence of paganism, and in 754, while about to confirm some of his converts at Dockum in East Frisia, the old bishop was murdered by a frenzied mob of the heathen. He was buried in the monastery of Fulda, which he had built and had loved so dearly. But Boniface had not left his heirs unprovided for. When he felt his life was drawing to a close, he wrote to the abbot at Fulda, the king's chaplain, begging him to use his influence with Pippin.
It seems to me, considering my ill health, that this mortal life of mine and the daily course of my activities must soon come to an end. Therefore, I pray His Royal Highness, in the name of Christ, the Son of God, to indicate, whilst I am still alive, what future provision He is willing to make for my disciples. They are nearly all foreigners. Some are priests spending their lives in lonely places in the service of the church and the people. Some are monks in cloisters or children learning to read. Others are men of mature age who have been my companions and helpers for many years. My chief anxiety about all of them is that after my death they may have to disperse and be scattered abroad like sheep without a shepherd. I am afraid also lest those people who are near the pagan border may lose their faith in Christ. My priests living near the border of the heathens lead a very bare existence. They can get enough to eat, but they cannot procure clothing without help and support from elsewhere. Until now, the assistance to maintain themselves in those districts for the service of the people has come from me.
Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.